Blog
you can hear me
radio.
Now.
Yep, I can hear you now.
Ueyo. 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 Ueyo.
I've been walking.
Ueyo.
My face turned to.
Back of my head, just in case I have to run. Do what I can when I can while I can for my people. While the clouds roll back and the stars fill the night,
that's why I'm gonna stand up,
take my people with me.
Together we are
going
to a
brand new home far across the river.
Can you hear
freedom calling, calling me to enter?
Gotta keep on
keeping on. I can feel it in my bones,
and I know. Ooh. What's around the bend might be hard. Ooh.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Welcome to the Truth and Power Corner. How you doing? How everybody doing today? Hey, Mama Sylvia, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine, thank you.
Okay, Mama, I apologize. My mic was messing up. I had to change everything around. So let me handle a little housekeeping, and then we're going to start the show. I'm glad you're here with us today. Thank you for joining us. I want to welcome everybody to the Truth and Power Corner. Come on into the digital den and get comfortable. I want to thank you all for joining us tonight. If you want to call in at 516-387-1549. Today's air date is December the 24th, 2021. We got a fabulous show tonight. We have a great guest that we're going to be speaking with. I'm going to handle a little housekeeping, and then we're going to get into the show. First of all, I would like to say salute to all our political prisoners, our POWs, and our elder comrades that are still locked behind those walls. They are constantly dying daily, and we are not doing enough to help them come home. They need to be home more than 2 days before they die. They're just coming, they releasing them, and they dying immediately because they spent their whole lives in these gulags and in the belly of the beast. We need to do more. Our outrage is not loud enough. I want to say salute to all black media platforms and our sisters and brothers that continue to bring us their truth, power, and knowledge, because nobody else will. Salute to the Republic of New Africa and our chosen leaders, officials, ministries, citizens, and delegates. Salute to Madam President Sarr and Madam Vice President Mama Ayo and all our new Africans. Please visit the website at pg-rna.com and become conscious working citizens and support our black nation. And I want to say salute to all our mamas and babas that are providing African-centered education for our children. that is very important, very essential. All right, let's get into the show today. I would like to introduce our guest. We have Queen Mother Sylvia Honore Babajide, right, Mom? Mm-hmm.
Babajide.
Did I pronounce it right?
Babajide.
Babajide, okay. How you doing today? Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I haven't talked to you in a long time, and I'm very, very glad to see you. Talk to you today.
How you doing? I'm doing great, thank you.
And we want to welcome you to the show. Like I said, we want to thank you for calling in today. We're going to get on into the show. We want you to introduce yourself to everybody and let everybody know who you are, because you are one of our respected elders in the community. You are out there doing it, Mom, and we need to start helping and support. So I want you to introduce yourself and give us a little of your background.
Well, I grew up around the Cleveland, Ohio area, and there, you know, ran into the Afro set, offshoot of, you know, like Black Power movement, and that was my first contact with things like that. But it had an impact on me, actually, you know, and I didn't live next to the Huff riots, but I was close enough to know about the Huff riots, you know, in the 60s at that time, and what all their struggle was. So I always had an interest in history and Black history. I got it from my parents. I heard, you know, stories from down south from them coming up, you know, so I knew about racism. It was always talked about in our home. It was always talked about, you know, you got to be better than the best and all of that. So, and that concerns me because people have gotten away from that nowadays. You know, they don't, you know, people a lot of times don't talk to their kids about racism, and there's no point in trying to hide or sugarcoat it. But anyway, my background, I like people. I've been a therapeutic foster parent. My husband and I took them just for Black males because nobody else wanted them. We did. And, you know, that's been rewarding. I went to school as an for education, social studies, 9 through 12, but I spent more time in child welfare. And, you know, I love to serve Black clients. I mean, I just do. So that's what, you know, I've served up. When I taught special ed, I taught a lot of Black kids in special ed, some of which didn't belong in there. And, you know, when you test them, you find out they don't even need to be there. They could be depressed and don't really belong in special ed. It's not that they're low functioning. They're just depressed. So, you know, I want to caution parents to don't just rush to have your children, you know, just take the first sign of putting them in the special ed classes. And if they are in special ed class, they don't have to die there. They can be tested if a parent demands that they be tested and get out of there. But, you know, if you send your kids to public school. But what I've learned is that all children, you know, don't learn the same way. And so a lot of our children don't thrive because they're not in a supportive environment in the schools. So that has a lot to do with it as well. So,
yes, ma'am.
I really think the best thing is, you know, if at all possible, make a collaborative with others and do some homeschooling. You know, I've heard parents complain that, well, our kids don't know their Black history. They don't know their Black history. They don't know their Black history. But you as parents are the first teachers. It's up to you to teach it to them. You know.
It's just
that simple. There's no reason with a free library and media, you know, for you not to be able to educate your children. But what I would suggest that I used to do when I was a child, I didn't even know that was what was going on. But on Saturdays, we were taken to the Cleveland Art Museum, and I saw all of the African arts there. So then my mother organized with some other parents, and we had Black teachers at that time, and that's a whole another conversation too, importance of Black teachers. But anyway, we were taken to museums, and we were taken around, you know, even just within Ohio to different places to learn about Black history. So that was valuable, and I didn't even see the value of it at the time, but, you know, that always made me have a sense of pride. And if you don't teach your kids, they won't have that, you know. So that was something I feel was very important. And, I had an opportunity with my foster children to do the same, you know, with them as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. And I know that you are a former teacher as well. I see that it's a lot of of our parents. Like, you know, when COVID hit, right, I really thought that was going to be a chance for us to get our babies at these indoctrination centers and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But they
mm-hmm.
didn't, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So with you being a former teacher, have you noticed how they are still, you know, being abusive to our children and everything? I even saw a link the other day where a parent is suing her school district because they vaccinated her child and then told the baby not to tell their parents.
But see, that's horrendous.
Well,
they're in Ohio.
How many black children they did like this?
Right, right. In Ohio, there's a most recent case, and I'm just going to say it in Lorain, Ohio. I used to do social work up there. It's a black and a Hispanic community. Well, a child was forced to eat some food out of the garbage by the teacher and the teacher's aide. So they got a big lawsuit going. But, you know, it's not even about the losses. It's about protecting your children from the trauma from the very beginning. And, you know, mm-hmm. I've been in a public school where I've seen a principal get ready to go to blows. Now, he's a Caucasian principal. That's here in Mansfield. And he's getting ready to go to blows with a student. And it's like I talked the student out of the situation, you know, so the principal didn't have to, you know, then you know they're going to turn around and say he was the aggressor, whether he was or not. But, you know, never should it be any hands-on. So, I mean, I have all kinds of experiences where as a black teacher with mostly black students and white administrators, it's a fight to try to get different methods in and how you want to raise your, you know, you are raising them when you're a teacher, how you want to care for your students. In your classroom. So I've locked heads like that, and I was even not even renewed in a contract, not because I wasn't efficient, but because I just don't subscribe to, you know, the maltreatment and the neglect of the kids, really.
Thank you. Thank you. And we need more teachers like you, like that in the system, if they're going to continue to send their children to these indoctrination centers. I wanted to ask you, like when I was talking about the vaccinations, you know, how they got the vaccinations mm-hmm. and they forcing them on everybody and things like that. Have you noticed that they're doing it there with you all children, just like that case I was just talking about?
I haven't heard of anything such as that, but I have seen, not in this particular locale, doesn't mean it hasn't happened, but what I have heard is that they're telling children, I saw this on television, children can get access to the vaccination at school and don't need their parents' permission, just like they were getting access to birth control and abortion without parents' attention, you know, permission. And that's horrendous. You know, there's no reason for that, because we don't know what these shots will do down the road. I mean, I'm old, so, you know, it's like it's not the same for me. But I'll tell you what, I wouldn't want my grandchildren or children, I don't know what the outcome could be. I don't know if they're going to be sterile. I don't know what diseases this stuff could trigger. I don't know. They don't know. I personally feel it's a mass experiment, but that's another conversation too.
No. Look, Mama, me and you both, because I said just like if our people would understand, like this COVID hit like 2-3 years ago. If we had to start
mm-hmm,
eating healthy and doing the things that we supposed to do, we'd be able to combat mm-hmm. these things that's coming, you know, coming down the line. Because I look at you, you are a gorgeous, beautiful, beautiful mom. And you care about your health and things like that. I want to talk about that for a minute. Why are our people so, you know, against that?
Some of it has to do with just lack of knowing what to do. But I know one thing you can do that's cheap and easy, grow something for your children whenever you possibly can. You know, you don't have to have acres to grow. You don't. I grew a lot of food, and I had food to give away in a backyard mostly. Then I got lazy and did a whole lot of deck gardening. I had vegetables all over my deck and pots. So, you know, that's that, and then that teaches the children things as well. You know, when you grow, have them grow some things and they take responsibility for growing something, you teach them that. It's a whole education process that they don't, you know, and yet they can enjoy the fruits and vegetables that they grow. So, like as early as March, I'll begin starting things in my home. It'll be cluttered. I don't care because I got some space I've put aside, you know, to start my seeds, start my seedlings and start growing. So that's very, very, very important, you know, for as far as getting something healthy, and more that's going to be critical that you grow something for yourself, your family, particularly if you have young ones. You know, you need to grow something. There's some things, I can tell you a few right off the bat, that you don't even, all you got to do is put it in the ground. You don't have to have any knowledge. It's tomatoes, it's green beans, it's cabbage, it's green peas. You don't have to have any specific knowledge, care, or anything, and it will grow.
Oh, okay.
So I would encourage you to, you know, cabbage, your collards. The only thing about your collards is there's certain times you have to watch out for certain bugs. But you can grow green beans. I mean, seriously, you don't even have to have any knowledge. You just plant it, do some watering, make sure it's not overwatered, test the soil with your finger, and let it go, and you will be surprised at what you will get. So, you know, with some effort and some time doing that, I would definitely suggest that. But one thing I wanted to talk to everybody about tonight is something that going into bartering and bargaining with people. And so,
yes, ma'am.
Women who need a break from their children, and everybody does, caring for children, particularly if you're homeschooling as well, you need to make a written contract with another mother that she can keep your children for 2 hours. We're doing a meaningful activity, and that doesn't mean plopping in front of TV. I said a meaningful activity. And then during those 2 hours, she keeps eyes on them. You know, boyfriend, girlfriend, nobody else watches them but her. And then you contract where, you know, another 2 hours, you will do the same for her. Because in college, I did that with another mother. We were, you know, parents in college. And I would keep her son, and then she would keep my son. And then we would agree to times for that. And so that's the kind of thing you can set up with people that you, you know, trust and all of that. But you can set up a way where you're not spending money, but you're, you know, bargaining like that. Another thing I would suggest for parents, you talked about solutions, you know, like I said, the bargaining, but the contract needs to be written out so that everybody understands, everybody's clear, everybody signs it, and so it could be no arguments. And once again, it would be with trusted individuals, you know, somebody that you know will keep eyes on your children, not hand them over to the neighbor or whatever, somebody you don't know, but that person in particular, so we can keep children safe. During COVID, we heard of so much increases in abuse and neglect of children that is horrific, and we have to protect our children. We can't keep on traumatizing them. You know, you might have experienced trauma, but that doesn't mean you want to, to traumatize your children, just have generation after generation of dysfunction and sadness and woe and all of that. So that's why I'm very, you know, I got a strong maternal instinct. I'm very protective of children, and I would encourage people to do the same, you know, to watch out for their kids in that particular way.
Exactly. That's a good thing. Go ahead, Mom.
Yeah. I have coached my daughter. She was married to a man, and they divorced, and she moved near him so he could help co-parent, and that was good. And then he had a child with another woman, and that relationship broke up. And I encouraged my daughter and that woman for, you know, people say baby mama, but she's part of the family in a sense, because I encouraged the two of them to befriend each other so the siblings can be together and they can use each other for safe babysitting, particularly because I didn't live in the same city. So I would encourage women to do things like that. You know, instead of fighting each other. So it became a point where, you know, the boys are now over 18. So, you know, my grandson, and I call him my step-grandson because that's my grandson's brother. And they still have a relationship. And that child has even come to my home because that's my grandson's brother. So it's meaningful relationship for me. But I would encourage women to don't fight each other, but look after the children in that way. So what they've done is they made a form of a community, you know, amongst them. So when my grandson graduated from high school, his brother was there, his brother's mother, his brother's mother's significant other, my daughter, his mother, her significant other, and the biological father. So you see, family and community can be, we don't have to limit it. We don't have to fight each other. You know what I'm saying?
And especially because it's the good of the children, exactly.
You know, it's for the sake of the children. And what we all learn from all of that is family can be, you know, love and family and acceptance can be extended, and it's all for the benefit of the children. You know, because
exactly.
That my grandson's brother calls my daughter his other mommy. So we feel like we won in that instance. Because in Africa, that's what it is. You have
wife. Exactly. That's why. Right. That's how. That's how we have here in my family. We have my brother. He had 12 kids. So he made sure that all his children knew each other. So the mothers, they used to fight all the time. So then they got to the point where they were like, why we don't fight each other? And then to make it so bad, mama, she, one of the mothers, she died Monday. She was 40 years old. Mm-hmm. And all of the children are distraught because all of them knew her.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yes, I totally agree with what you're saying. We had to deal with that dynamic in my family. Go ahead, Mom.
Because me as a grandmother with my grandchild in another city, I've had dialogue with that woman. You know, I'm just not saying her name is why I'm calling her that woman. But I appreciate her because she's been good to my grandson, you know. So she trusted us enough when her son came to us, you know, and we, you know, accepted him. So you can extend that family. And she learned a lot, you know, we learned a lot, and it's a value, you know, like you said, it's value added, and it makes us less hateful, less hurtful, and it's for the children. It really is, but you gain friendships and bonds in this, along the way as well.
Yes, ma'am, I say. All right, I want to talk about you and your son. Y'all have an initiative called the Helping the Homeless Initiative in three cities up there. When did y'all start that, and tell us about that so that people can know about it and help you, you know, reach out and support?
Well, it started because I would be going to see my son in one city just 70 miles south of me, and I would see homeless people. And, I mean, I've seen them before, but, it really was like, okay, they need some help. Something needs to be done. Then I would go to see my family in the north, 80 miles away to the north, and get off the highway and see more people, you know, that are homeless. Then I began to notice that in my town, the homeless shelter, they're finally expanding, but I began to see more and more people. And a lot of people have experienced homelessness. So we have an end goal, but right now what I'm doing is I go on to Amazon and I get these different buy bulk things, and then I make a little package. So it has like a pair of thick socks. I have these Mylar blankets that you couldn't use them in the home. You would burn up. There's, you know, to keep the body heat in. Protein bar, water bottle, hygiene kits, and then the thick socks. So it's not a lot, but it's something. It's something you can do. And when I see people, I have them always. They're always in the front seat of my car. And when I see people, I hand them out. And then we go to one campment that my son has shown me in his city, and we pass out things there as well. So I had already, like I said, I just keep things in my car and I'm ready, but my next expansion is I want to do more for females. You know, I want to make up packages for them, and I don't have as many packages for them as I would like with feminine products and, you know, in a purse, things like that. But the reason it ended up being three cities is that, you know, I keep going to these three same, you know, I live in one city, I go to visit family in another city, go to visit him in another city, and I keep seeing these people. And, you know, it may not be a whole lot, but it's a start, because what we really want to do is have a what they call a shower van, and it's a van hooked up with a shower, and you know, people can take a shower there and things like that. So that's what he's talking about, you know, one of the end goals. And when he does work less, he wants to have a shelter. But in the meantime, these are some things that I'm working on, you know, that oftentimes, you know, he can only take some time off on the weekend, but I have a little bit more time. And so I'll go around and pass out these things. Like when they serve food at the Salvation Army, for example, and you'll see men come there. And you can usually tell, you know, who's really struggling and who isn't. But so I pass out things there. And, you know, it's just, what boggles my mind is how appreciative people are. And I'm just thinking, boy, I wish I could do more. And I know people can do more, you know. But it never ceases to amaze me and just how grateful they are. And it's like, this isn't much, you know, that I'm giving you, but they're very grateful and appreciative for it.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And do you have a Cash App or how can people reach out to, help, you know, support if they are able
If they're able to, it would be, I have PayPal. I don't have a Cash App, but I'm on PayPal. And, okay. You know, from my name, you know, you could find me easily that way. Because, like I said, I keep going to Amazon, having stuff delivered. And now I'm going to, my sister was like, why carry all the stuff up there up north when I can have some stuff delivered to her house and then I'll, you know, distribute it there. Because there's one city, Columbus has two big encampments, Cleveland has one, and then, of course, the people you always see in different spots, you know, that you would just run into. But I usually go to the encampments, not the homeless shelters, because people, you know, they're pretty much taken care of there, but there's never enough room in the shelters.
So they take care of the shelters up there?
There's one shelter in my small town. My community only has, like, we have, what, tops 50,000 people now. But, and even here, the shelter is building an expansion because there's more people, you know, that need it. This is one of those Rust Belt towns where the factory jobs left. And then with COVID came, people lost their jobs. And, you know, the whole homeless situation is just, you know, there's a lot of invisible homeless who are just living with relatives and nobody knows about it. But these are the ones who truly don't even have a roof on their head, you know.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Because like I said, and you were talking about the importance of us rebuilding the family. That's another question I had wanted to ask you about, because a lot of our families have been experiencing a lot of domestic violence and different things like that. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. you know, with COVID being here and having, you know, bringing problems like that, those situations have escalated, and we still have to repair our Black family. So I want to ask, do you have, like, what are some of the solutions that you would suggest, you know, with us healing our Black families and our Black communities? Because it's getting out of hand, Mom.
It is. One of the things that I know that we had when my family was, you know, if you have a teenage daughter and you're not getting along so good with her, maybe she can go stay with an aunt for a couple of days. You'd be surprised how even things like that can help, you know, a trusted relative. And then vice versa. I've had cousins come and stay with our home, and I've had, you know, I went and stayed with an aunt for 3 or 4 days or whatever, something like that. But really and truly, people are going to have to get into some type of meditation for some healing. You know, you can find Black therapists. There are Black therapists if you have any type of insurance. You know, and seriously, people have to get rid of the stigma about mental health and counseling. There are Black therapists who are into healing our people. And, you know, you can reach out, especially in larger communities. You definitely will find some Black therapists. And then in this age, you're seeing people online. But we have children who are cutting themselves, children who are banging their heads, children who are, you know, they're acting out. And the reason they're acting out, they're depressed. You know, they may not be able to say, here's what's bothering me, but things are bothering me. Then you have women who are depressed and overwhelmed. But people have to get over the stigma of not reaching out for help. And even if it's just calling a friend and saying, hey, I don't know what to do, here's what's going on, you know, you have any ideas, something like that.
When we had extended family
living closer to us, we truly had less dysfunction, because you always had some elders, and my grandmother was one of them. When you got called to her room, you might live in another part of the town. When you got an appointment with grandma in her room and the door was closed, you know what was going on. She was letting you know something needs to change, this needs to fit, you know, what can we do, looking for solutions. talking to you about what's going on. Same thing with my father. He, with all the male cousins that I had, you know, if he picked them up and took them out, or either he was talking to them downstairs and we got sent to our room, that means it was private time with them. So we had those informal counseling with elders back in the day. But when jobs left the areas and families moved here, like I got cousins all across the United States where when I was younger, we had cousins that you can get to within 10 miles, 15, you know, 15 miles at the most. But
yes, ma'am.
You know, so we have to make some kind of community. We have to reach out for resources, and there are some resources that you can reach out to. Once you get past the stigma of mental health, you know, you can find black counselors. I would not want to, personally, I would, you know, as a female, I wouldn't go to a counselor unless it was a black and a female.
Exactly.
You know, so,
because what does a white woman know about my problem? She can't tell me nothing.
Exactly. So, I mean, that just makes sense. You know, somebody who, you know, looks like me has had some of my experiences, that's just going to be, you know, a better option. But there are some good therapists out there. I was in a forum not too long ago, and I caught it late, but there was a lady who had a master's in counseling, actually, and she does a lot of work online. So, you know, people need to, if you don't have them family members that you can trust, then that's, you know, that's what you would have to do. But, you know, people are coming unglued at the seams. We see it. It's a stressful time. But you can find solutions, and you can work together. And I would say never give up and keep at it.
I say. I totally agree. I love the conversation. I'm going to add, I have a caller that's here, one of our elders of our community, and we're going to add her to the call so that she can introduce herself. And she's the vice president of the Republic of New Africa. Come on in, Mama Ayo, and join the conversation. This is Mama Sylvia, and Mama Sylvia, this is Mama Ayo.
Nice to meet you.
Greetings, Mama. Greetings.
So how you doing today, Mama? Go ahead.
I'm fine. I just wanted to, you know, just I really enjoyed everything that you said. When I say we are in divine alignment, Queen Mother, I, you know, I'm appreciating your call to service, you know, everything that you talked about in my mind reinforced the principles of Kwanzaa that we ask people to incorporate into their lives every day, you know, unity, work, you know, self-determination, work, and everything you said is just, you know, it's wonderful. And I know it's much needed up there in Columbus and Cleveland because y'all's in the cold. You know, everything, the farming, making sure we eat from the land, looking after each other, of course, the cooperative economics with the bartering, it's just everything that is needed for us to help rebuild our nation, our community, you know, that love for self, love for each other, taking care of one another. Yep. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful thing. I thank you. I thank you so much.
I have a
passion for people. Like I said, I love people. Every career I ever had deals with people, you know, and I love our people, and I hate to see us suffer. And I know that there's, you know, everybody can't help it that they don't necessarily have family nearby or quality family, but you can make family with trusted people, you know, still and all. One more thing I did want to add is that I believe in bartering even clothing. You don't have to buy brand new stuff for your kids. You can find some mothers that you can trade some items with, you know, so you don't have to be spending all this money unnecessarily. Kids grow out of stuff quickly. I know when my children were younger, particularly like going to camp situations like that, I would get them stuff from Goodwill. You know, their father was like, why are you going to Goodwill? We can buy them. I was like, look, they're going to camp. They're going to mess it up. Who cares? And sure enough, they might lose it, get it muddy or whatever. And then you can do some from even for some like school clothes or play clothes. You can do some bargaining, trading with people. So, you know, like right now I got a bunch of clothes. I don't want to take them to Goodwill because they're going to sell them. I would rather give them to people. So my sister was telling me that one thing I could do is go to the homeless shelter, and some of them don't want to take clothes because of bed bugs, but I know they don't have bed bugs, so I can meet some people outside and still get it to them. But I don't want to take it, you know, to somebody that's going to then go and sell it, you know, again. But those are the kind of things that people can think of doing. You know, when you think of you having some clothes, find out among some friends or whatever, pass that stuff around. You know, it's newly – I'm not giving anybody anything that I wouldn't still wear. It's just that I have about three different sizes in my closet. So, but I wouldn't give anything to any woman, you know, that I didn't think wasn't dignified, clean, neat, buttons on, et cetera, et cetera. And it should be that way, you know, for the dignity of another person. But I really recommend the swapping of the clothes. My family did that too. My mother she sewed and she made things, and she sewed them very well. I'm not as good as a seamstress as she was. I didn't take that interest. But the point was that we always bartered clothes, and I never was without lots and lots and lots and lots of clothes, because with five aunts, five maternal aunts, and all of them having kids, you know, that's what we would do. We trade the clothes around.
Exactly.
We got
exactly.
new things as well. We sold things, but that was a way of, now looking back, I really see, you know, that was a way of really saving money.
I say, I totally agree. Just with thrifting is.
I'm sorry. See, that teaches them not to be so materialistic too. You know.
Because we got
a lot of materialistic kids who think only they got to have designer clothes and name brand crap and all of that, and that's not serving us well.
Absolutely, Shay. I totally agree with that. Totally agree with that. That's why I do a lot of
Mama
thrifting.
Mama Sylvia.
The good.
Mama Sylvia. Mama Sylvia, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
I did want to go back to your statements about what you're talking about when you say that you are your community, you and your sisters and brothers, your son, your daughter-in-laws, you know, their mates. That was a true example of what we're talking about, trying to build family, because whether we like it or not, because of the conditions we are in, the family isn't founded on some of those strong African principles, like I need to know your family, I need you to get to know ours, because it's a blending of bloodlines and clans. And so when our children mate and they don't stay together, or you know the scenarios, if we work together as women and of course the mates come together and understand that we're coming together to help blend the family, to make things easier, to show community, because that's what you've done. It's beautiful.
Right.
I love it. It's what you because you don't. We have so many issues with each other as women. We have to understand when we decide to bring forth, and it happens. You have united bloodlines. If we were back in the village, we would say clan. That's why man, woman, and child was always so important to us.
Right.
But because of what we've gone through in this country and continue to go through, they don't promote family. They're not promoting that. And if anything, they're not promoting family where we're staying together as a melanated people. We blending and mixing and matching and blah, 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 blah. That's also the importance of teaching our children history. Because you have to know where you come from. You have to. So I loved your example of just showing how we have to work together with the women who have, you know, had children with our mates. And our mate has to get along with the men who have impregnated us. We just have to make it work. And I just appreciate your example.
I have a situation where I married, this is my second marriage, and my husband's second marriage, he's Nigerian, and his first wife is in Nigeria, and that has never not been family, because those are those children there are the siblings of my son. So,
thank you.
You know, that's always been family. It's just as simple. For example, for her to have some semblance of financial independence, I bought her turkeys So when I buy her turkey, she sells turkey, grows turkey, you know, breeds them and all that, and then makes money. Well, now that's just smart because I can buy the turkeys here so cheap, and then, you know, for, but they can help her make money in Nigeria, and then that helps her children as well. Because see, exactly. If women don't realize that you're sharing these men, honey, one way or another. You might think you ain't, but you probably are. And the point is, you want to still raise your children in a healthy environment. So, yes. In a healthiest environment for them to feel loved and valued. So, you know, I can't even tell you how valuable that is, you know, when the children know that they're cared for. I mean, I've heard my husband talk about his father had four wives. They were Muslim at that time. So this is somebody who's right. over 70 in Nigeria. But growing up that way, he always had a sense of family, belonging, and this and that. And
of course, excuse me,
I didn't grow up that way, but I grew up with a sense of family in that relatives weren't far. If you were over Aunt So-and-so's house, you respected her just like you were at your mama's house or another aunt's
exactly.
house. You know, and
exactly.
You know, there was that boundary, there was that sense of care and that sense of family. And then there was always somebody, when my mother was sick and went in the hospital for several weeks, it could have been traumatic, but I had a grandmother who lived with us, and then I had aunts coming in to help. So people have to make community. You know, they have the term baby mama, for lack of a better term. Baby mamas better get together and hang tough with each other because it's too rough out here by yourself. And that's
exactly.
what we're seeing.
Ashe.
Exactly. And they need to understand it and stop being, because it's usually all in their feelings. It's not about you. It's about those babies.
It's not about you.
We have to make it good for them. This has been a great show, Mama. I love you. I love y'all. And like I said, we're going to do this again. Because I want you, like I said, I want you to, you said that everybody can reach out to PayPal on the Sylvia Honoree, Bobby G.R., right?
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
Support mm-hmm. your homeless initiative, helping the homeless. And I want y'all to get a closing statement together for me. And I'm going to, you know, get ready to close the show out because, like I said, we have had a great show. Thank you, Mama Ayo, for joining in. Mama Sylvia, we're going to have to do this again. And like I said, I love y'all. So get a closing together for me. I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. We have had another great episode of the Truth and Power Corner. Like I said, y'all keep supporting. We love you all. Thank you all for your support and your continued love. So Mama Sylvia, I'm going to let you go first, Mama Ayo, and you can give us a closing. Then I'm going to let you go, Mama Sylvia.
I've been honored to meet you, Mama Sylvia, even if it's just over the phone, and I look forward to hearing more beautiful things. Whenever you are in Memphis or if you ever come to Memphis, make sure you, you know, look us up. We believe in the family and the community and in the community as a family, and we will work to make this concept live. That's taking that the words, you know, you have those words. What you are doing is taking words but actually implementing them, actually putting, you know how they say you can talk the talk, but are you going to walk that walk? Mm-hmm. That's service to ourselves. I'm wishing you all well and blessings, because your feet are anointed. Thank you.
I say.
Thank you.
Ashe. You can go ahead and give us a closing, Mama Sylvia. Like I said, thank you for joining us tonight. This has been our very special guest. You all reach out and support the Helping the Homeless initiative that her and her son have us up there. And go ahead and give us a closing, Mama Sylvia. And like I said, you know I'm going to talk to you soon, okay?
Thank you. Love you, too. I would just say that when you light a torch for others, you're really lighting a torch for yourself. When you do something for others, you're really doing something for yourself. And you need to know that your brothers and sisters are not just your blood-born, motherly, fatherly-born brothers and sisters, but that if you don't help others, you really aren't making a safe space for yourself. So until everybody is safe and happy, nobody should be safe and happy. And that's how why I still keep going and while I continue to go. I speak blessings and peace and prosperity over everyone who's hearing my voice. Thank you.
I say, I love you all. Thank you all for joining us tonight on the Truth and Power Corner. Love, love, peace, and power. Ashe.
Ashe.
If I can change my color,
yeah.
If I can change my color,
yeah.
Sometimes I think if I could change my color, but what I wanna be. They say the whiter the brighter, you black, you a fighter. 401 years of oppression, but still managed to pull up in that 2020 test. That's good credit, right? Gotta keep your hustle tight. Take care of your kids, cause that karma hit. And I ain't got no daughters, but I wish I did. These little boys I got, I swear they gotta be militant. Yeah, cause these people take killing. And I'll be damned if a can take mine on some racist. That's why I'm teaching about black facing. And the KKK, that's something we can't escape. Yeah. Escape.
Son, they don't like you cause you black. Son, they gon' judge you from the start. Son, don't want no hate up in your heart, but you gotta move smart. They gon' judge you cause you dark.
Mama, they really had kids in the field. They don't care how it feels. Slavery paid the bills. Mama, this is no more designed for us to fail. How you give a man freedom but don't give a man a bill? Well, mama, what happened to 40 acres of mules? The only time they respect us is when we keep them amused. Wait, blackface? Why are they making us out of food? Those stereotypes are old. We're going for something to prove. We gotta think harder. We gotta be smarter. Stay here by the third grade. If I can read, I'ma be just like my father. And not incarcerated. What happened to proclamation emancipation? I gotta run on my history. Yeah. It's your mystery. My teacher keep on bringing up slaves. That's what she did for me.
Listen, a wise man once said, education is a passport to the future. But tomorrow belongs to who prepared for it today.
Back in the days, I used to want to be the cop.
I remember.
The good guy, till Rihanna got stopped. I couldn't imagine my mama is all I got.
So they keep their knee on our neck, it's a sacrifice when we die. George Floyd got killed him, it's no excuses. Over a fake 20, really, that shit was gruesome.
You mean to tell me that Abraham Lincoln didn't really free the slaves?
They don't like you cause
I'm
you
so
black.
I'm so tired of protesting, but we can't stop protesting until we get our reparation. And we can't stop buying all up in the store, Gucci and Dior, until we get our reparation. Cause as soon as our money starts spinning, it's ending. They gon' forget everything.